Sure.
Well, everybody should have an outline there in front of you to follow along with our teaching this morning. Such an exciting new launch here, and how this evening I'll be back with the other ladies and giving pretty much the same teaching here. But as you're listening today, I want you to write down, you know, maybe on your outline or take a note or of something that speaks to you in some way. And I want you to be prepared to share that during your discussion time. After I'm done, a new thing that we're adding this year is there's going to be a short testimony from somebody. Actually, this morning it's going to be from Mary. And so afterwards, then, we're going to have some discussion. And so I just want you to kind of feel like you're prepared to share maybe what spoke to you through either the teaching or Mary's testimony. But this morning, I want to begin by drawing your attention to those sticks on that board. Some of you can see them. If you can't, this little board here, right here, those sticks on the board in the center of your table. And before you leave today, we want you to take one of those sticks because it is meant to represent and remind you about the year ahead. It's meant to represent kind of two things. It's meant to represent a walking stick, that's why it's a stick, and it's meant to remind you to persevere on a journey that we're going to take as we gather together each month. It's kind of a whole new theme this year. We are going to embark on the most amazing journey over the next 9 months. It is a journey that if you stay with us till the end, it will change your life. It will change your life because you will grow in your understanding of some of the most important things about this life that you're living. Things like, why am I here, right? What should I be doing? Why do things happen the way they do? Is God really in control? What is God like? Does he really care? Does he care about me? And how can I love him? How can I love him more? Being able to understand the answers to these types of questions is the result, ladies, of growing in wisdom, but not just any type of wisdom. It's the result of growing in our understanding of God. That's going to be our journey. Okay, we are going to grow in our knowledge of God. And like I said, this will be really an amazing journey. It will be a fulfilling journey. It will be a journey that, if you take it seriously, will so change you that you will begin to reflect the beauty of the one that we're learning about, which is God himself. And that's the goal of this journey, to reflect his beauty. And because I want us to begin this journey with confidence and a resolve in our hearts to be committed to it, I want to share some reasons to pick up your walking stick along with your Bible and to, as the verse on that stick says, press on to know the Lord. And the first reason on your outline is number one, is because growing in our understanding of God is the most worthwhile journey we can pursue. I mean, think about it. What are you pursuing right now in your life? And obviously, since you're here this morning, I'd assume, you know, motherhood, being a mom is what you're pursuing, or being a faithful or godly mom is on your list. But what about as you look at the days ahead of you? What are your dreams and your goals that you want to accomplish? What's important to you when you think about the future? And what about as some of us, we look back on our lives? What have you lived for? What's been the driving force of your life? In Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24, God highlights three things that people tend to think are important pursuits, and then helps us to know what is really important. And I want you to look at it with me on your outline. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me." So do you see them? Do you see the three things that people tend to place value on and boast about? What are they? Riches, wisdom, might, power. You see, our world tends to value what? The pursuit of maybe higher education, power and prestige, money and possessions. But God says these are not the most worthwhile pursuits in life. Now, I'm not saying we can't pursue things. It's not what I'm saying at all. But God's telling us that they're not the most worthwhile pursuits in life. And why do you think that is? Why is God making us aware of that? I mean, after all, these are the makings of a successful person. Does anybody have any thoughts about that, about maybe why God's instructing us in that way, this way?
They're not permanent. They don't last.
They don't last. Yep. Anybody else? Any thoughts about maybe God might, why he might be making us aware of this? Kind of a warning in a sense.
They're vain.
They can be. Yes.
I mean, not wisdom, but
yeah. They can be.
Strength.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you think you really got something, it lasts 2 days.
And yes.
It's just your new
disappointment,
normal.
Huh?
And it just becomes common and normal for your everyday life. Is not.
Yeah.
Well, goes hand in hand with what Babette said. It's,
yeah.
You put your trust in those things instead of in God.
Instead of God.
They're not fulfilling. Like, they're achievements, but you can have millions of dollars and not feel fulfilled.
Amen. Amen. Because you can give your life to them and in the end still feel totally empty and without purpose. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what all of you have, summarizing what all of you have said. You are still left, or you can still be left, you know, confused and feeling as if you still don't know the meaning of life and why you're here. Some of you might be familiar with Kate Spade, who was a successful designer. Okay, she seemed to achieve some amazing goals. She began with designing handbags. She has beautiful handbags, for those of you who are familiar with Kate Spade. And her company grew to designing just about everything, from clothing to eyewear, stationery, bedding, baby items, even wallpaper has Kate Spade's name on it. She then wrote books on the subject, which that was her real love, was writing. She wrote books on the subject of etiquette and entertainment and fashion. She then eventually sold her company to another designer for $124 million. Now, by the world standards, really, she was smart, she was prestigious, and she was wealthy. But some of you might know that this past June, she committed suicide and left behind a husband and a 13-year-old daughter. Her husband did speak of her struggle with depression and anxiety. But why? Why? You know, this is an all too common problem and an all too common story, and becoming even more common among our young people. God is telling us here in Jeremiah how to avoid the emptiness of earthly pursuits. And it is by not neglecting while I'm pursuing my goals and dreams, the most important and worthwhile pursuit, which is understanding and knowing God. Arthur Pink, who wrote The Attributes of God, I think the quote is on your handout, he says that a spiritual and saving knowledge of God is the greatest need of every human creature. And boy, we need to keep that in mind, don't we, as we guide our children in what's most important in life. We need to keep this in mind. We need to remember this. So our journey is a very worthwhile journey because it's a journey that is a part of God's will for our lives, which is to know God. We'll be drawn closer to Him and our faith will grow. And this will give proper meaning and a clearer purpose to our lives and our lives as mothers and wives. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but I need that. And that makes me want to pick up my walking stick and press on to know the Lord. But that's not all. There is another reason. And that is number two on your outline. Growing in our understanding of God will bring a unique peace and stability to our lives. Now, Jeremiah, who understood the priority of knowing God, tells us what he discovered in chapter 10, verse 6. And it's on your outline. Look at it with me. He says, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might." Moses also knew God intimately, and he said something similar, but look, he puts it in the form of questions in Exodus 15, verse 11. Moses says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" And the obvious answer, we all know, is what? No one is like him. No one is like him. And over the next 9 months, we are going to be learning about God's character. And God's character, what he is like, consists of his attributes. And as we begin our journey, it's important to understand that there are some attributes of God that are unique to God alone. I have some of them listed on your outline, and we're going to look more closely at some of them over the next year. And I believe that these may have been the traits that Jeremiah and Moses were referring to when they said, "There is none like you." For example, when Moses said, "Who is like you among the gods?" He was most likely referring to God as being sovereign and all-knowing and self-sufficient, incomprehensible, and limitless. I mean, think about it. No other God among the nations could be described like that. And no human being, including any of us, is any of those things, are we? We know we're not. Majestic in holiness, Moses said, speaks of God's perfection. He is perfectly pure and flawless. And we have a lot of flaws, don't we? And so did the gods that the pagans worshipped. And then glorious deeds, doing wonders, speaks of God's omnipotent. That means that he is all-powerful. There is nothing that is impossible for God to do. And that was certainly not true of the pagan gods. And it's not true of us. There are a lot of things that are impossible for us to do. These traits, among others that I have listed on your outline, we have to remember are unique to God alone. And when we think about them, our response should be like Jeremiah's. There is none like you. Now, Bible teachers and theologians have described them as God's incommunicable or non-communicable attributes because they are unique to Him alone. And we are not to communicate or imitate them in our lives. We are not to aspire to be sovereign, okay, or all-knowing, or live as if we are self-sufficient and limitless, okay? Or pray that we might be any of those things. So why learn about them? What might be the benefit or purpose of growing in our understanding of God's non-communicable attributes? What might be the purpose of teaching our children about God's unique to Him alone attributes? Well, there's a lot of good reasons, but I want us to think about two this morning. And the first one is that knowing God in His non-communicable attributes helps to draw our hearts to worship Him. And I think that's easy to do when you think about how He has no limits and how He knows everything about everything and how He never ever changes and how He is everywhere all the time. And you know, the only reasonable response is to worship Him. And that's kind of like more easy to do. The second reason that I want to focus on a little bit more here is a little more challenging for us because it requires faith. And it's that knowing God in His non-communicable attributes helps to bring a unique peace and stability to our lives. Now, how are you doing with that one? It's a little bit harder. Like I said, the worship is easy. The peace and stability is a little harder. I think more often than we'd like to admit, we find ourselves anxious, worried, discouraged, hopeless, exhausted, right? And often it's because we need to grow. We need to grow in our understanding of God's non-communicable attributes. And simply put, we need to know God more. A.W. Tozer, and this quote is on your handout, he's the author of The Knowledge of the Holy, says, "We wonder why we don't have faith. The answer is, faith is confidence in the character of God. And if we don't know what kind of God God is, we can't have faith." So I think we'd all agree we need to know God more. But another reason for the emotional instability that is more common, I think, than we ever even realize, is that we often unknowingly try to be God in the sense that we reflect the non-communicable attributes of God more than we realize. Now, you might be thinking, Kathy, I know I'm not God, okay? And I know that too. But I also know there is a natural inclination within me, and it's in you too, that rises up at times and aspires to be, what, sovereign, okay? In control of people or the circumstances that I'm going through. Or to be omniscient, okay? To know, I want to know the future. I want to know why something happened the way it did. I want to know what someone's thinking. Or to be all powerful and to be able to work miracles. To be flawless and perfect, to be self-sufficient and not dependent on someone else and just forgetting about God and trusting in myself. And you know, every time I aspire those qualities that are unique to God alone, I forfeit the peace and the stability that comes with just resting in who God is. This is so important Because how much of our worries, our anxieties, our anger, our discouragement, our fear, and hopelessness would be lifted if I worshiped and rested in these attributes rather than sought to reflect them. Now in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, that's where Jesus addresses the topic of worry. And he sums it up at the end by stating that worriers have little faith. Now it's interesting that he doesn't say they have no faith. He says in that passage, they have little faith. And if you study that passage, which I have, because I tend to be a worrier, it's because worriers, for the most part, don't rest in the character of God, particularly his non-communicable attributes. They don't rest in him being sovereign, that he created us and is in control of my circumstances. They don't rest in him being all-powerful, in that he feeds all the birds and creates beautiful flowers from nothing, and he is more than able to take care of our every need. And they don't rest in his omniscience, that he knows everything, including exactly what I need in every circumstance and can give it to me at any moment. You see, God's solution to a lot of our emotional struggles is found in simply worshiping and resting in the non-communicable character of God, not reflecting it. Look at Proverbs 18:10 on your outline. It says, "The name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is safe." In Hebrew culture, now, a name was usually an expression of the character of a person. It always represented something. The name of the Lord stands for his multitude of characteristics, like his non-communicable attributes. That the righteous person, okay, the child of God, relies on and literally, as the proverb states, runs to for safety, for peace, for stability. And we need to think, you know, is that what I do in the midst of trying circumstances? Do I run to those qualities and rest in them, reminding myself of them? You know, when you think about a walking stick, I mean, let's think about a real live walking stick, okay? If you've ever seen one, it takes on the image of a branch of a tree. Okay, that's how it was created. And as amazing as that little walking stick is in that it reflects the image of a branch, one thing it will never be is a tree. Okay, for it to try and be a tree would not only be an unattainable goal, it would be absurd, right? You're even laughing, you know, it would be ridiculous. As a matter of fact, the safest place for a walking stick is simply resting on a tree. That way none of its predators bother it. And in the same way, ladies, we were created in the image of God. And we can reflect his beauty in a lot of ways. And as amazing as that is, one thing we will never be, or should seek to be, is God. We need to see that as not only absurd, but extremely sinful. Do you know that that was the sin of Satan? He was originally created a beautiful, unique, powerful angel but pride and an absurd, twisted desire to be God brought about his demise. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, in this situation, am I trying to be God? Am I reflecting characteristics that belong to him alone? And it's then that I need to remember that the safest place for me is to be resting in who God is. And when I do, I will experience a supernatural peace and stability in my life. And I can testify to that. I'm a worrier, and this has been my solution. Now, there are ways we are to aspire, okay, to be like God in the sense of being Christ-like, which leads to our third reason here for us to grow in our knowledge of God. Because number three, growing in our understanding of God enables us to best reflect his beauty. Now, like I said earlier about walking sticks, that even though it would be absurd for them to ever aspire to be a tree, they are created with a built-in camouflage that enables them to look like an attribute of that tree, a stick. And it's pretty remarkable, really. If you've ever seen one, it's easy to miss because they so much look like part of the tree or the plant that it's on that you don't even notice them. It is, in a sense, an almost perfect reflection of a stick. And do you know that you are created in the image of God? And part of what that means for a Christian woman is that you were created to reflect some of the characteristics of God. Those characteristics that God enables us to reflect are known as his communicable attributes, and I have many of them listed on your outline. And we are going to look closely at some of them this next year. That's our journey, okay? Communicable attributes are those in which we can and are even commanded to imitate God in these ways in our lives. We see that from in Ephesians 5:1. That says, therefore, what? Be imitators of God as beloved children. In Hebrews 12:14, we're told to strive for holiness. Okay, that's talking about the godly characteristics. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, we're told to pursue these things, speaking of God's communicable attributes. In Galatians 5, these qualities are known as the fruit of the Spirit. And as we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit, we are enabled to produce them in our lives. Now, that's exciting. And I think that you would agree, as you look at this list, that these are some beautiful attributes. But ladies, first and foremost, I want you to see and I want you to know that this is our God. As you look at those attributes, this is our God. Every trait on this list is limitlessly true of God. He is these things and he expresses them fully and perfectly. And it is his will that we be a reflection of this beauty. Because when we reflect his beauty, we bring him glory, which fulfills our purpose for living, to bring God glory. The scriptures tell us that the way we reflect this beauty is by beholding it. So look with me on your outline at our final scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18, which describes the change in a believer when he contemplates the Lord Jesus. It says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, for a believer, the veil, that veil of blindness has been lifted. And they can perceive what God's Spirit wants to teach them about God Himself. God's glory that it speaks about in that passage is the manifestation of His many splendored excellencies, His attributes. And as a believer, ladies, beholds them, in other words, learns about them, contemplates them in God's Word, and even in some of the books that Mary's going to be showing us today, and like what we're going to be doing in the months ahead, as we do that, as we behold Him, we become transformed more and more into the same image and begin reflecting those glories in our own lives. That's amazing. That's amazing. A.W. Tozer, I love how he summarizes this. He says, it remains for us to think on these truths and pray over them until they begin to glow in us. So, this is our journey to know God better, to learn when we need to worship and rest, when we look at some of the non-communicable attributes, and when we need to be a reflection of His beauty as we look at some of the communicable attributes. So pick a walking stick before you leave and let us press on to know the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are awestruck as we consider who You are and what You're like. And we're so thankful that You remind us that the most important thing that we can pursue is to know You more and more and more. So help us, Lord, as we press on this next year to know You more so that we might worship You, we might find our stability in You, and Lord, that most of all, we might rightly reflect Your beauty for Your glory. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Mary's going to come and share with us. So, I want to share with you the summer of 2014. For the Winnie family. We were really looking forward to that summer. My first grandchild was going to be born at the end of June, and my daughter was getting married at the end of August, and we were just really excited about it. But honestly, when I look back to the summer of 2014, I kind of get a pit in my stomach, because a lot happened that summer. And my first grandson, he was born on June 30th, after a long, hard labor for my daughter-in-law. And I was so thankful that both Amy and Silas were healthy when they were born, when he was born, and he was a beautiful baby. Of course, I'm going to say that he's my grandson, but he was beautiful. But 2 weeks after Silas's birth, our whole summer changed. Have you ever gotten a phone call in the middle of the night that wakes you out of a dead sleep? That has happened to me twice in my lifetime. Now I'm going to go slow to control my emotions, so bear with me, okay? The first time was when I was 22, and it was the Walton Hills Police Department asking me if I had a brother named John Kramer and to come down to the Walton Hills Police Department, and I found out that my brother was shot and killed that night. So that was the first devastating phone call that I got in the middle of the night. The second one was around 3 a.m., 2 weeks after Silas was born, on June 14, 2014. It was Amy telling me that my son Nathan was taken by ambulance to Hillcrest Hospital because he had just had a seizure. You know, my son was a healthy young man. He never experienced anything like this in his life. It stunned my husband and I. We were in shock. And, you know, we got ready to go to the hospital and we prayed before we went. And we were so confused in our thinking. We didn't know what was going on. We were even thinking, like, is this a bad dream? What is going on? So when we got to the hospital and we got to the emergency room, Nathan was awake, but he wasn't himself. And the next thing we knew, he went into another seizure. I have never experienced someone having a grand mal seizure before. And I think it was the worst thing that I have ever experienced to see my son go through that. My husband and I stood there in shock. We didn't know how to take it in. We didn't know if he was going to die or if he was going to, you know, have some serious damage for the rest of his life. We didn't know what was going on. We were standing there trying to just comprehend what was going on. And I will tell you that Amy was standing there with Silas in her arms. And she started praying out loud. And it was something that I will never forget. I was amazed by her strength. And I was so thankful for her faith in the Lord, and thankful that she was my son's wife. So the doctors had to run a lot of tests on Nathan. And thankfully there was no brain tumor, but they could not figure out why he was having these seizures. They tried to stabilize him with medication, but it didn't last. Within a couple weeks, he had more seizures and he was back in the hospital. You see, when he wouldn't have just one seizure at a time. He would have multiple seizures. It was the brain firing and it just would not stop. And the only way they could stop them was with medication. You know, as a mom, your heart aches for your children. I want you to think about your little ones, how you try to protect them, right? You don't want anything to hurt them. You want to protect them from something harming them. Well, let me tell you, when your children become adults, if that doesn't go away. You know, when they're little, they're easy to put up in your lap and you hold them and you take care of them. When they're an adult, you can't do that. They're not in your arms anymore, but that love as a mom, it never changes. And you don't want to see your child suffer. I can remember driving to the hospital one of the times he was in there, and I guess I was just having a conversation with the Lord. You know, what is going on, Lord? You know, why are you allowing this to happen? And why are you allowing this to happen now? You know, right after this, they had their first child, and you know, we're planning this wedding in August. It's just like my head was spinning. I just didn't know what was going on. And you know, I know that God was good, and I knew that, but I couldn't put it all together. You know, I had to remind myself that God was good. I had to remind myself that God was in control. I had to remind myself of that and rest in it. If he was good to bring the blessings of my first grandchild, to bless them with a beautiful, healthy child, and if he brought my daughter, a godly man, to marry, those are blessings that he brought. If he brought a trial in my life, is he changed? He's still a good God, no matter what was happening in my life. And I had to remind myself of that. God doesn't change just because my situation changes. God does not change. And it comforted me to meditate on that and to remember that. And I knew that he loved my son. I believe that God was sovereign. I truly believe that God was sovereign over my son's life and over everything that was happening in our family. In Psalm 103, it says that the Lord established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. I love that part, that verse, because I visualize God sitting on his throne, overlooking all that happens on this earth, including what's going on in my life, what was going on in Nathan's life. I believed that, and that, to me, was just a visual that I needed to focus on. And, you know, he was right there in the midst of what was happening. God didn't leave us alone. He was seeing, he was there, he was present. God knows everything, and he created my son. He was the creator of my son, and whatever was going on in Nathan's body was part of God's perfect design. In Isaiah 26, it says that you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. I needed to trust the Lord to bring me a peace that I could not find within myself. And that's what I was trying to do, keep my mind on God and going to him for comfort and rest, because I knew that he would never leave me and he would never leave Nathan. He was my refuge and my strength and my strong tower during that trial. So the seizures, they did not end, and he continued to have them in the weeks that followed. And he was in and out of the hospital, and they were trying different seizure medications, and he was having terrible side effects from the medications. Well, Becca and Buster's wedding was on Friday, August 30th. On Wednesday, 2 days before the wedding, Nathan was in bed experiencing. I can't look at you. I'm sorry. He was in bed experiencing another episode of seizures. It was a hard day for all of us. None of us were sure if he was going to make the wedding. And eventually that day, Nathan had to go to the hospital, and they kept him to stabilize him. And unfortunately, Nathan and Amy were not able to make the rehearsal dinner on Thursday. It was so disappointing for everybody. But God was gracious, and we are thankful because Nathan was able to come to the wedding. And it was a beautiful day. He was able to come and be a part of it, but he was not doing well that day. He was over-medicated, and he was struggling. And believe me, I wanted to take that pain away. I was being emotionally torn in two totally different directions. Okay, this was my daughter's wedding day, right? So this is a day we plan for, we hope for. To see that is like a high, right? And then, so I'm at the ceremony. It was a beautiful day. It was an outdoor wedding. It was a beautiful setting. And I'm watching Becca and Buster, and I'm so full of joy. But then I turn my gaze to the right, and I see my son sitting on a stool because he can't stand up, and my heart aches. So I was literally on an emotional roller coaster that went from up to down in literally a matter of seconds. It was not easy. It was emotionally draining. For the first time in my life, I have to tell you, I experienced an anxiety attack that weekend. I believe I had two that weekend. My physical body was responding to that emotional roller coaster that I was on. I was feeling tingling in my arms and my legs. I was having heart palpitations and this heavy weight on my chest. And it was really hard for me. But you know, I had to reorient myself. I had to reorient my thinking, and I knew that I had to bring myself back to what I knew was true about God. At that time, I needed rest physically, and I needed rest spiritually. And I needed to remember the promises that God gave to me. I needed to renew my mind again, just like I did when he was in the hospital, bring myself back to thinking right and to meditating on my Lord. And there are certain scriptures that they're just like such a comfort. And that, you know, you need to go to the Word. You need to be in the Word. You know, I mean, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the Lord will give us rest. Hebrews 4:16, when I told you before, I think about the Lord on his throne overlooking all that's happening. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then come with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I needed to go to the Lord for help. I needed to go to him, meditate upon his word, pray to him, and I will tell you, even worship music, it just soothes you. It comforts you when you can praise the Lord through music. Meditating on the word and God and praying is what I needed for my weary soul. These things reminded me of the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. Now, I knew that God could heal Nathan, because he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful, and I believe that. But I also knew that God could choose to work in Nathan's life in a different way, because he is all-wise and understood what I did not understand. it made me think about the Apostle Paul. You know, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked the Lord to take that thorn from him 3 times. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And I thought, Lord, if you want to keep Nathan weak, you will be his strength. You will provide all that Nathan needs, all that Nathan and Amy need, whether it's physically, spiritually, financially, or whatever it is, Lord, because you are faithful and they are your children. Well, the doctors ended up diagnosing Nathan with epilepsy, and it took about a year to get him stabilized. The medications had to be changed, and it was a hard year. Much of that first year, you know, he couldn't drive. A lot of times he couldn't work. And, you know, he now lives with reminders of this disease every day. And at times he still struggles. But he has to take meds multiple times a day. And, you know, I'm thankful for today that he is stable for today. But I do know that I don't know what the future may hold. I don't know, you know, the unknown. But I do know that my God is sovereign and he is in control. As I look back on that time, I can see God's faithfulness so clearly. He allowed all of us to be together at Becca's wedding. He allowed that. He blessed us in that way. I was able to witness the tenderness and care that Amy showed to my son. He was allowing me to see in a tangible way his provision for my son through a loving wife. Remember I said I wanted to take care of my son, but you know, they grow up and they get married. And I was able to witness God's provision through a godly wife who loved her husband and cared for him. And you know, God gave Amy a content baby. And she had to leave that baby to be with Nathan so many times. Her little newborn, she had a C-section. She had to leave him so that she leave Silas so she could be with Nathan. But that baby was content. And it made it easier for her to leave him with us or another family member so that she could be with him. That was God's provision for us. And I would tell you, that little baby, I ask why now, Lord, that little baby was like a soothing ointment for us. He was like medicine for the soul. My husband and I were just talking about that, how, you know, when we had Silas, just having that baby, he comforted us. It was God's provision through Silas that he comforted us. And, you know, there were so many ways that God provided through prayer and encouragement of so many friends and family. So my faith was tested. And did I really have faith and trust in God like I thought I did? Well, I struggled, but I had to keep bringing myself to resting in the Lord and remembering his character. And, you know, I'm sure everybody here has had a trial, and you know when you have a trial like that, nothing else matters in your world. It's like you're in a box, and it's just you and that trial and God, and nothing matters. Nothing matters. And at times like that, we are weak. And knowing God and remembering what is true about God and resting in the attributes that are unique to him alone is the only sustaining hope for our weary souls. So I hope that encourages you that God is the only hope that we have. And at your place setting, underneath your registration form, there's a booklet, and it's called The Most Encouraging Promise in the Bible. And that's for you to take home today. And Armin, Kathy's husband, Armin, who used to be our pastor here, wrote this booklet. And this booklet is based off of Hebrews 13:5. And it's that God will never leave us or forsake us. And that's what we need to remember. He will never leave us or forsake us. We can rest in that promise. Now, if you have this booklet, I encourage you, if you already have it, read it again. If you have an extra, give it to a friend. Give it to somebody who can use it. You know, I ask that you don't take any of the extras on the tables because we want to use them throughout the year. So if you could, and if you want to purchase extras, there's some up here. Let's see. The book table. I want to tell you about the book table. I have up here, if you really, like Kathy said, we're going on a journey and this year. And so what I printed off are
30 days of praying the names and attributes of God. So if you want to grab one of these, feel free to take one. These are for you guys to take. And there's some books up here. The two that Kathy talked about was The Attributes of God by Arthur Pink, and then The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. Now, these are my copies, but I'm going to try to order some so we have some for next month. But if you want to even come up and look at it and see if it's something you would want to purchase, they're up here for you to look at. Another book that is a great book is by Jen Wilkin called Women of the Word. And this is how to study your Bible. It's how to study it, how to go a little bit deeper than just reading your Bible. And this is a great book, too. There's some other ones we have up here that you might want to come and look at. And we want to give a book away. We're going to get, like last year, we gave a book away. And this year, we want to give a book away every month. Now, this is Jen Wilkin, who is the same author of this book over here. And she wrote, actually, two books on the attributes of God. And this one, this green one, is based, it says, None Like Him, 10 Ways God is Different from Us and Why That's a Good Thing. Just like Kathy said, we cannot be God. So this book is based on the non-communicable attributes of God, only what is unique to God alone. This book is called In His Image, 10 Ways God Calls Us to Reflect His Character. And this is based on the communicable attributes of God, how we can take on those attributes to become more like Him. So we're going to give a book away today. And Mandy, you have all the names in here, right?
Yep.
Okay. Somebody want to pick? Kathy, you want to pick me? And you get to pick which one you want.
Way.
Yay! Yay!
So you can pick which one.
All right. Okay.
Okay. And if you want to buy a book,
see Mandy Kumis. She will help you with that.
And you can pay with Square with your credit card. Cash. There we go. We have it all. Okay. Let's see. I have a couple announcements here. Jen, who is over our refreshments now, she actually this morning, those pie cups that she brought are from Pick a Pie, which her husband owns, right?
Yeah, makeup.
Yes. So thank you for bringing those. We have double chocolate and cookies and cream. So enjoy yourself.
And take them home, really. I'm not taking any of them home. I have little carriers if you want to take them.
So we're gonna take a little break and take a little pick a pie and some snacks, and we're gonna come back and have our discussion. And just a couple guidelines when we're doing the discussion. You know, we want to just be edifying in our communication with each other. You know, if you get into conversations maybe about personal issues, you just want to make sure that you don't talk negatively about, you know, somebody else or your husband or your children or anything like that. We want to be careful how we discuss things. And when you get together too, if you want to just go around and give a little introduction, I don't know, a lot of us know each other, but if you feel the need to do that, that would be great. And I think that's it.
And it's your registration forms.
Oh, your registration forms? Make sure you hand them to your discussion leader. So take a little break, grab a pick pie.
Yay.